Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's your boy TP Timeless back in the kitchen with my co-host Nacho. We are about to throw this food fight around the kitchen. We got a lot of interesting stuff to get into the next 60 minutes. You are locked and loaded, focused with Sports City. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside to Kitchen Timeless is alive. Welcome to the food fight, people.
Did the remix.
Same old shit, just a different day. I here trying to get it, each and every way. Wait, mama need a house, baby need some shoes. Okay. Times are getting hard, okay. That's what I'ma do.
What's that?
I'm on South Beach with that top off. Bad bitch and her ass off. Something out of that catalog. She introduced that lockjaw. And I think her name was Lisa.
I swear, I can headbang to that song all day long. I'm a hip hop head. I'm sorry. The calling number is 917-889-9592. Like I said, you got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chefs, man, and a lot of interesting stuff going down after this Saturday. And we're going to kick it off with you guys that know best. Thank you to everybody that's been out here downloading us, coming to see us on a consistent basis. It's been great speaking on behalf of Sports City. Thank you guys, however you're doing this, through iTunes or a link that you've been seeing, whether on Twitter or wherever you see us, and getting your good old food for thought situation. We'll put out these dishes. So I got my co-host with me, Mr. Silva. Welcome to the food fight. How are you feeling, Nacho?
You know, I'm feeling good. You know, PBC's got a nice triple header coming on right now on CBS. So that's on the TV. And then, you know, just getting ready for this food fight, for these dishes. I'm excited.
Okay, now I'm going to start you off and heat this kitchen up right, because we ain't been here in a minute, so we got to set this kitchen off right. And I got to wake you up, so I got to throw the flame at you. Now, I know outside of the kitchen, even before we got in the green room, we were actually discussing a situation that's become quite, I guess, frustrating or tiresome, or do we question the dedication? Now, there is a fight between Julio Chavez Jr., going up against Marcos Reyes, and how he is fighting weight battles or weight issues again, approaching this fight. Now, your thoughts on this fight, and also your thoughts on Chavez Jr., I mean, how he's been steadily spiraling downward, and how he can't consistently seem to not make weight.
You know, as it pertains to the fight, Marcos Reyes, you know, 33-2, with 24 knockouts at 27 out of Mexico. We were expecting him to step up and do what he's been able to do, which is knock people out. And this was supposed to be a coming-up fight, if not only because of the name of Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., and that's it. And for Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., this was a fight for him to prove that he get into training mode, get into training camp, lose the weight, get into the fighting shape that he should be in, and get into the ring and knock people out like he should be doing, like earlier in his career he was doing. These last fights with the DUIs, with the overweight, with just showing that you really have no love for this sport at all, other than the fact that you want to collect a check and live off your name. It was all fine and dandy when you were winning and there was no losses. It was great. And then when you took that loss, and then you took a loss to Sergio Martinez, you got manhandled for 12 rounds pretty much, even though in that 12th round, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. did hit him one good time, you know, similar to a Bradley Vargas type of deal, where Sergio was just, you know, surgically taking apart Julio Cesar Chavez for a better part of 11 rounds. So, since then, it's been the downfall of Chavez. You know, this was supposed to be his fight where he shows the dedication, he shows the love for the sport, and he comes in overweight. albeit 0.8 overweight, you're still overweight. He had to strip down naked to get just 0.8 over. They had to strike a deal with Reyes so they could actually go through with the fight, pay Reyes more money to fight him because he couldn't make weight. So not only are you losing money, you're tarnishing your name, you're tarnishing the sport, and you can't do the one vital thing that you are supposed to do in this sport. Of anything else in this sport, you are supposed to make weight. And you can't even do that time and time again. So, like you said, it's frustrating, sad to see. And now I want to see if Marcos Reyes can come out, dismantle Chavez and show him for the fraud that he is now, and knock him out, add on to that fight total, and maybe could be a stepping stone for Reyes. I'm not familiar with his fights, but I will definitely be keen into this one just to see if he can do what he's supposed to do and take care of business against that disgrace. Because if the Fonfara fight, Fonfara to Julio Cibes Chavez Jr. fight, is anything to behold from Jr., this may be a quick fight. This may end fast and ugly for Chavez Jr., and I see the weight being a huge factor. If not, we might see tons of body shots, and then he might quit on his stool again. So a knockout or a quit on the stool is how I see this coming out. I don't see this going to a decision. I don't think Chavez is in the shape at all to handle what Reyes is going to be able to throw at him. I'm not saying Reyes is a great competitor or you know, an elite fighter, but when you're out of shape, you can't even make weight several times. It proves to me and to the boxing world that you don't care about the sport and you're just there to collect the check. So he'll collect a little less of a check because Reyes will make sure of that, and he'll lose. And you know, it's sad to see, but he's going to continue to live off his name and live off the hype. And because, you know, that's what it is, people will, you know, he'll get paid to do that. It's just how long are people going to go on, you know, accepting him this way? Because this is how he is. This is how he's going to be. This is going to be over. So it's sad to see, you know, it's sad to see with great, you know, like Julio Cesar Chavez, great fighter, came from nothing, had the hardships growing up as a young man to an adult. Just had the hardships of you know, living down in poverty. And Junior obviously never had the hardships of anything. Grew up on a silver spoon, was able to train with the best, had one of the best trainers, Freddie Roach, at a time, and would not go to training camp, would not go to the gym. It was at a point where Freddie Roach would have to go to a house that he had rented for Chavez during training camp and move the couches into a boxing ring shape just to get him to train. So when you got to do that, you're just there for the money, and it's sad. He needs to leave the sport.
Now, I think it's more than money because I think he has to rebuild himself to a fighting stature because he wouldn't be taking his fight if it was for money because he's lost several. So it's not like he's getting a big payday here. I think he's trying to rebuild his resume. Now, since it was all con situation that you threw out there toward the bad that could potentially happen out of this fight, what is the pro out of this if Chavez is to win this fight up against Reyes, who has actually an interesting record standing at 33-2?
You know, yeah, 33-2 is a good record. So coming off of it, if Julio Cesar Chavez does, you know, pull off the miracle and win via, you know, decision, knockout, however it may be. However, you know, the miracle gods decide to, you know, wave their magic wand for him tonight. If he does pull off that victory, I don't know what it does. I mean, he came in overweight again. I don't think it really does anything for him, even if it is Reyes, who does have a good record, who came in at the good weight, who looks ready to fight. I don't think it does anything really. Boxing fans, promoters, other boxers know that this guy doesn't love the sport. And when you go in there, and you don't want to fight someone like that, you know, they could hurt you or you can hurt them, in a way that you don't want to do that. You want to fight a professional because you're a professional, and he's proven to me at least, and to at least a majority of boxing fans that he no longer is a professional at this sport, and that he is living off of the name. Whether he's trying to just make money or not, he's definitely just living off of the name. These last three or four fights from him, I don't think, unless your name is Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., you get a fight tonight at all. DUI after DUI, after overweight, after four trainers in 5 years, unless you got a father like that, unless you got a foot in the door, you're not getting another fight. So I think now on people are going to see that this guy's not going to be a professional and not be prepared. So getting another fight, you know, unless the guy that he's going up against, you know, is just looking for money too, because then you know you're probably going to get paid because he's going to be overweight. But is he going to be there? I mean, is he going to get stuck with a DUI again? Is he going to do something stupid? You know, you never know. So I don't want to see him fight again. But if he does win, I don't know what could come about, because this is what would be the third or fourth time, I can't remember, he's been overweight. I think it's three times he'll be overweight, and having to pay a fine to Reyes for being overweight. I don't know any promoter or anyone else who would want to, you know, put their boxer in the ring with him, or who would want to make a deal with him. It just doesn't make any sense.
Now, obviously, him fighting at 170, he's in an interesting class. Who do you think he could potentially fight if he does win? Just some of the notables to throw out there that are available that will actually have some heightened interest to people around the boxing world. Just your thoughts. I mean, there's Trout out there. There's also Arthur Abraham, if he wants to jump out there. Just some of the notables. They got Triple G. I know that we both are in a love situation toward Triple G. Cotto could actually present himself. I mean, if he is to win this fight, who do you think he could actually potentially go up against next to try and recapture his resume?
Well, I think you could take Cotto out of the question. Cotto's been on the record multiple times that he is not, you know, a middleweight at all, a legit super middleweight or anything like that. He won't jump up to anywhere near 160. So, I mean, you could probably cancel that fight. But, you know, maybe a Canelo, because Canelo is a true, walks around at a good 170, 175, so he wouldn't have to drop so much weight. Canelo might be a fight that I could see after Cotto in November, if, you know, Chavez Jr. wins this fight in knockout fashion. I could see pushing a Mexico versus Mexico fight for May of next year, you know, just because they're, you know, if this is, albeit the last fight for Mayweather, May 2nd would be open, around May 5th would be open that weekend. So now you're looking at two Mexican fighters for the May 5th, the 5th of May weekend, and also they would both be coming off wins, and it would be Canelo, if so be it, coming off of a win over Cotto, and Chavez coming off a win over Reyes. You could just match it up. It would be a moneymaker. You could, you know, chalk it up to Chavez's comeback, Canelo, you know, fighting someone who's trying to make a comeback, and it's another Mexican, and, you know, yes, obviously that would be a fight I could see them pushing to try to make. Other than that, like I said, I don't know, like you said, Trout, maybe Alara trying to make a stepping stone. Like I said, the only thing that these fighters would be gaining would be fighting him because of his name. So that's what I think that these fighters would be trying to get in there and try to do, take advantage of a guy who's, you know, no longer at the professional level that he once was. And so they could go in there and do this. Trout, obviously, maybe a ward situation. Triple G, go in and get a quick knockout. Then people can stop complaining that he doesn't have a champion on his resume. You know, things like that. You know, being an ex-champion, now he's going to get fights so people can say that they've beaten a champion before. That'll be something that'll be on a lot of people's minds. But if he does pull off the miracle win, you know, you might hear something like a Canelo Chavez for May next year. That's if, Mayweather decides to retire in September.
Okay, just moving away from this one and getting into some other dishes that we have. There's a fight coming up soon with Canelo facing Cotto, two of the names that we just mentioned in this situation. I know this is a relevant dish that's been going around the boxing world, but your thoughts on what they're facing right now, trying to get everything squared away before this fight actually occurs. Your thoughts on the Canelo-Cotto bout?
You know, with everything being, you know, and you know, the as 6 months ago, this was a standstill and a nothing. This was a nowhere fight. Neither sides could come to any kind of talks at all. And now that we've gotten pretty much two dates, two venues, and two weights, I'm sure we will figure this out. And as we, I mean, boxing, these two boxing, these two boxers will figure it out when, where, and how much weight. It doesn't matter what they do, if it's November 7th or the 21st, if it's the Thomas and Mack Center, if it's MGM, it does not matter. This fight is going to be big. It's going to be amazing. I'm excited to see it. It's not the fight that Cotto should be fighting, but it's a fight that boxing fans want to see. It's a true 154 going up against a guy who has repeatedly dropped himself in weight 20 pounds, dehydrated himself 20 pounds before the last four or five fights, and that being Canelo. Like I said, he walks around at a cool 170, 175, trying to get down to 154, which he has done before, is not a problem for him. 155 wouldn't be a problem either. And for Cotto, like I said, and like he said repeatedly, he's 154. He is not, you know, he's 154, 147. He likes that weight range. He's a junior middleweight, welterweight area. They're definitely going to fight at a 154, 155. So this will be something that I'm interested to see. Obviously, with the Kirkland fight, with the Gale fight, two quick knockouts, especially with the Kirkland, and what a fashion it was, the way it was, knocking his lights out the way he did, and then the way Cotto handled Gale, expectedly but unexpectedly quick, if I might say so. I thought he would win. I thought he would win in good fashion. Twice as fast is how he finished, how I thought he would finish the fight. So it's going to be good. It's going to be a great fight. Like I said, Cotto's mandatory should be Triple G. He should fight Triple G for the lineal championship, but I think we will have to wait until after this fight. The problem with this, there is no problem at all, as I see with this fight. The problem is, like I said, when you have a mandatory, you should fight them, regardless of you have a great fight that the fans want to see. You fight the mandatory, you get it over with if you're the actual champion, if you're the actual best, and then you fight the next guy. I just don't understand why he's ducking Triple G. Well, I understand why, but I don't understand why he's been ducking Triple G for so long and telling him to wait, because he might not get a chance, you know, with a loss on his record to Canelo. But as it pertains to the fight coming up, I'll save that, you know, who I believe will win for fight weekend. But this fight is going to be a great fight. It can really go either way right now. We'll have to see, you know, what weight it's at, where it's at, when it's at, in the weeks to come, how they divvy up the totals and that like that. And we all know Miguel Cotto. We saw it in Sergio Martinez. We've seen it in multiple fights. He's the side A. He's very, very limelight. He wants to be in the limelight a lot. He's got a lot of things to say, and he wants everyone to hear them. So I'm sure Miguel Cotto will let us know when he's fighting, and where he's fighting soon enough.
Okay, now let's look at it from a different perspective. What if Canelo wins this fight, and the situation throws out there that Canelo has to go up against Triple G? That would be one heck of a fight if we get two slugfest type of boxers in the midst of every storm that's being created in boxing, that there hasn't been a real, you know, power-presenting type of fight, you know, outside of the Floyd Mayweather-Manny Pacquiao fight, which it didn't actually hold up true to form to the people around boxing, because everybody thought that that would be a Manny Pacquiao slugfest. But now, I mean, it's very interesting that both of these guys, I mean, they can box, but they both actually look to give as much pain as possible or get guys out of the ring as soon as possible. They don't basically look to go into deep waters with guys that go late in the round. So how interesting would it be if Canelo wins this fight up against Cotto and it presents itself that he could potentially go up against Triple G?
Yeah, this is exactly the type of thing that Canelo would you know, thrive in. Beating Cotto, getting that win under his belt, getting that win on his resume, will call Triple G out most likely after the fight. They will set that up, and that is going to be a fight, if it does happen, that will have fireworks, will be worth any amount of money that they want to make it to be, and will sell. This will be, in no other shape or form, a slobber knocker. It will be a fight to every punching fan's delight. Not trying to rhyme, but it will be. That's how it will be. Every fan who wanted to see a punching fight, that wanted to see lights out, that wanted to see knockdowns, that wanted to see people get up and persevere, people get punched in the mouth and keep going, Triple G and Canelo will present that. Two fighters that definitely do not back down. Two fighters that can throw haymakers and land them precisely where they want to land them. The body, the head, the dome, wherever, the chin, the eye socket, wherever they want to put them, they are going to be precise with it. They just don't throw haymakers with their eyes closed. We will see Canelo's footwork, you know, which has gotten definitely better since that match with Mayweather. We will see if that will have anything to do with, you know, Triple G, who likes to cut off the ring. It will be an amazing fight. Both styles, like I said, come at you. Triple G, being Middle Eastern, always says, "I'm Mexican style." That's what he is, which is, you know, forward, throwing punches and knocking you out. We saw it in the Gil fight when he took one on the chin and proceeded to knock him out with the punch 1 second later. It's going to be an amazing fight, and like I said, it'll be worth every penny that they make it. I will get it, and that's what I'm looking forward to if Canelo can pull off the victory against Cotto. A Canelo-Triple G fight will be what the fans, what boxing fans, with the fans of boxing who have stepped away because they spent money on a fight that they didn't expect, they will come back because of that fight. It will present itself as one of the best fights. It will have to happen in 2016, but it will probably be one of the best fights in 2016, and it'll be amazing.
Okay, now, interesting enough, I know we've been actually looking for somebody to present themselves with a big name, a big stature in front of Triple G. The situation has actually been presented that Ward is actually pushing to try and fight Triple G around September, October, if they could get this to happen. Hopefully they can get this to happen, because a lot of people just want these two to kind of collide, and they've been going back and forth, wars between media, so on and so forth. Is this a situation where Ward could actually be the one that gets in the ring with Triple G, and we get to see who Zero must go? Is it Andre or is it Gennady?
You know, and this is the fight that all the boxing fans of this weight class want to see, the 160, 168, 172 weight classes, is we want to see these get at it. Whatever weight they want to put it at, it'll be amazing. They will go at it, and I expect this fight to go through. Ward calling them out finally, answering Triple G's multiple call-outs. Now they want to talk junk about each other. That just forever proves that they're in the talks. It's in the works. September, you're talking about. I don't know the dates. Whatever it is, it really doesn't matter. If it is September, we all know it has to be late September. So whatever it will be, it needs to happen. Both Zeros need to go against each other. The talking about Triple G, the talking about Ward, Ward being inactive for so long, Triple G not fighting anyone of championship stature. This needs to cease all talk. this fight will cease off of that talk. Triple G will either lose and lose in a fashion in which we have not seen him lose, which would be outclassed, outboxed for 12 rounds, because there's no way I see Andre Ward knocking out Triple G. But if Triple G can go in there and knock out Andre Ward, it settles the question if he can fight at championship caliber in my eyes. So there is, you know, all the questions can be answered in this fight. This could be the end-all, be-all for most fans. And like you said, in light of the Manny Pacquiao Mayweather situation, this may be a question answering for both fighters, as it was for both of those fighters in that fight.
Now, interesting enough, look at it on Ward's side of the spectrum. What if Ward wins or knocks out Triple G? Let's look at it like that. What happens to Triple G after the fact that he's going up against a veteran that knows what it's like to be in these big-time type of fights? Because Andre's defeated a couple of big names in boxing and actually has gone up against guys that have actually been in heavier situations than Triple G. So he's seen this type of power, too. What happens to Triple G if this fight does go down and he's potentially the one that loses?
You know, then it really has to pertain on how it goes down, to be honest. If Triple G loses by early knockout, by a good one punch, it could mean, you know, one of two things. He's caught off guard. Like I said, it just depends on how he's knocked out. Now, if he's outclassed for 8 rounds, and getting punched in his face for all 8 rounds, and then round 9, he just can't take it anymore, and it's a TKO, or he gets one good punch in the eye that's been, you know, pummeled all night, then there's no other question. Triple G's resume is what it is, fighting a bunch of nobodies and knocking them out, going up against a championship-caliber contender and getting outclassed. And Andre Ward, like you said, if he can go in there and knock him out and outclass him, it could be the hugest step for Andre Ward to get into this title, back into the title contention, because, you know, them stripping him of his titles for not fighting. Now he can have a legitimate case again, even though if he doesn't have one already, now he's beaten the Zero and Triple G, the knockout artist king, whatever, and knocked him out. So, like you said, with Ward, it would be the best of all situations, winning. Winning by knockout, it would make it even sweeter. But it would just be what Andre Ward needs to get back into the ring against the title holder and take some titles from him.
Okay, so this is very interesting. Hopefully they can get this to go down, because if they're looking for a big money bout, I think that's where it lies, at least between Ward and Triple G, both are undefeated. I think a lot of people will gravitate to that fight, unless we see what happens between Canelo and Cotto and see if they want to go at Triple G. It's like everybody's playing that outside of Floyd Mayweather sweepstakes. It's like the Triple G lotto on who wants to fight him. And Ward has actually been, you know, pretty aggressive in addressing the situation that nobody's scared to fight Triple G. They're actually trying to protect their investment. And Ward is trying to make this fight happen. So either way this goes, it's going to be an interesting fight up ahead for Triple G. There's, you know, no longer that they could actually, you know, let him take care of people in the ring and then address the media to the post conference after the fight. And everybody was like, why are they ducking Triple G? Why is this fight not happening? So there's no longer the situation presenting itself. I say within at least a 6 month to a year span, he's going to end up with a big-time fight. So I hope people are ready and have been patient enough to see a big-time fight outside of the Pacquiao-Mayweather fight. Interesting situation coming up in an interesting fight for me, at least to me. I think this is an interesting fight. But up ahead, we have Paulie the Magic Man Malignaggi up against, and now this is a very interesting fight to see if Paulie is ready for Danny Swift Garcia. Now, to me, I think it's an interesting fight because Paulie is very technical and tactical at what he does. And Danny is a guy that likes to go through those fights and try and inflict as much pain as possible. He's a heavy haymaker type of thrower. He can box too, but I definitely want to see how you feel about this fight coming up between Paulie and Danny. Is this a situation where Danny just walks away with it because Paulie has not looked like himself in the last couple of fights? But there have been a couple of people around the boxing world that feel Paulie can come up with an upset in this fight. Your thoughts?
This is what it is. This is for Danny Garcia to step to 147 and see if he can contend with someone who's won a championship at 147, who has fought elite talent and pushed them. He may not have won. Paulie is the ultimate test at this weight class. So I believe if Danny goes in and handles his business like he should, then this will be the stepping stone he needs to get the full jump to 147 and start challenging people at this weight class, taking that zero to the next level and starting to win titles at 147. If Danny loses, however, obviously that'll prove he's not ready for the weight. He's not ready to step up. It's something he's just not capable of doing quite yet. And he will have to make the decision if he wants to drop to 140 back down or start fighting some catch weights at 144 and gradually work his way up and back into that 147 if that's where he wants to go. On the flip side, Paulie pulling the upset and winning, is it far-fetched? No. Is it something that I see happening? No. I think Paulie, albeit as good as he was, like I said, he did push a lot of boxers to the limit and fight some really great fights against some good title defenders, against some good titleists. I just think he's at the end of his ropes and he's just a stepping stone or a measuring stick for Danny. But if he does pull off the victory for Paulie, it's nothing more than a notch on his belt. I think he's more or less committed to the commentator role. He's really great at it, in my opinion. He's got some great insight, and when he does boxing matches, I definitely enjoy listening to what he's got to say and his input. So I do think that he's more or less getting ready to step into that commentator full-time role, and this may be the match to set it off. To go out either on a high of taking out an undefeated fighter in Danny Garcia or to finally let it all rest and go out to a champion who's stepping up in weight. So I do expect Danny Garcia to win this match and do what he has done. I think it is time for him to step up. I think it is time for him to go up to that 147 and take on contenders, because I think at 140 there was no one that was matched for him, even though he had some close calls. I think it was Danny getting ready for the 147s and looking forward more than looking at who he had to fight. And he pulled off some close wins, in my opinion.
Now, interesting enough, what if Paulie is to win this fight? How does this reinvigorate his career? Does he continue to push forward and fight other guys in the welterweight division? Or is this something that he gets to kind of simmer down on and think about how he still had it in this division? Now, mind you, Paulie isn't as old as, you know, guys that are ahead of him like Manny Pacquiao or like Floyd Mayweather. He's a little bit younger, not too much. But I think that he can end up outscoring a guy like Danny Garcia. That's if Danny doesn't get rid of him. Now, the last couple of fights that Paulie has been in, he's actually been overpowered. He really couldn't be as tactical as he wants to be. Now, this is a situation where Danny can get rid of him, but if Danny doesn't, Paulie has the technical skills to actually make this a fight. What if Paulie does win this fight?
I mean, it would have to be a technical win. With 33-6 and only 7 knockouts for Paulie, it has to be a technical win. And we all know Danny with the 0-30-0 with only 17, that's barely scratching over 50%. So, this is going to be a technical fight. I see Danny winning it because I think Paulie is just going to be at 34. No, he's not as old as a Floyd or a Manny. He's almost up there. I think this is time for the 27-year-old in Garcia to show his youth, show his stamina, and win a decision. But like you said, if Paulie does pull off this victory by a decision, technically soundly beating Danny Garcia, I don't think he moves up, and I don't think he takes this as it's time for me to continue. you do have to realize and remember he's fighting a true 140 who's trying to move up to 147. So it's not like he's fighting a true 147 who is a multiple champion, who's a contender in the 147. He's just fighting someone who's trying to make his way up to that class. So I don't think it's a victory that he can hold and say, you know, I'm ready for this class again. I'm ready to start taking on top contenders. I think, like I said, this is a match for him to either stunt the career of Danny Garcia with a victory and then move on to commentating, or take the loss and still move on to commentating. I think he's really wrapped up into that, and I think that's his next step in life. I don't think another fight after this, win or lose, is in the future for Paulie Malignaggi.
Okay, now, interesting enough, the boxing world is going absolutely crazy over who else but Floyd Money Mayweather. That's right. And Floyd has actually come up with the decision to fight Andre Berto in the month of September for the quote-unquote final fight, unless this isn't his final fight. Now, I want to come in multiple ways at this situation toward this fight. One, if Floyd takes it, well, Floyd is taking the fight. Floyd's fighting Andre Berto, and if he is to fight outside of September, fight into 2016, to me, I think this is actually lowering his standard. So if he is to able fight Berto, gets out of this fight and wins, and tries to fight again, is this a situation where Floyd actually slows down or makes himself quite vulnerable in the welterweight division? And I'm kind of looking ahead of Berto, where I need to concentrate more on the Berto fight. But this is it, make or break if Floyd does stick around in boxing after this 49th fight.
You know, I didn't know it was, you know, he actually confirmed it. And I'm reading a report here, reported 3 days ago, that it will be on CBS or something like that. And if they're trying to do it like that, I don't know what to think of this, because Andre Berto, albeit as good a titleist as he was, he's a diminished boxer. This is not a fight I have wanted to see. I had on my radar. Him saying that this is his fight for September proves to me that he is going to continue fighting, because this is an easy victory. This is a name you put on the board because you're going to get that easy victory. This is the Oakland Raiders. This is the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is, you know, the 2014 LA Lakers. This is an easy victory for you. When you put this on your board. So I don't understand this fight at all. And like I said, as good as Berto was, I don't see him as that fighter anymore. This is not even a fight I'm anticipating, I'm ready for. If the report that I read is true, that they want to put it on CBS, I may watch the decision for them to call Mayweather the winner after 12. But this is not a fight I'm excited to see, and I'm definitely not for this at all. This proves to me that he will be fighting in May, and it will be for, you know, it will be a bigger contender, and to, like you said, to his disadvantage, just puts him at a bigger. He will be older. We all know the layoff. You mentioned it multiple times. We all know from May to September is obviously a shorter time from September to May. So you make yourself an easy target. You make yourself an easy victory for September. And for May, you know, when you're not at your sharpest, you're also going to be a year older than you were last May. Who are you going to fight for 50? So I don't know if this is the case. This is a fight I'm not going to watch. I will definitely not buy it. I will definitely not pay for it because this will be Floyd Mayweather's 49th victory. He will go 49-0. Andre Berto has no chance. There is nothing else I can say, really. Andre Berto fighting Floyd Mayweather is a fraud.
Now, I don't want to, you know, jump too far ahead. I'm more or less just saying, if this fight goes down, even well, more than likely this fight is going down. And by the way, you're being critical of these California teams too. You were an Oakland supporter at one time, and you're talking about the 2014. I'm telling you, you and the Raiders and the Lakers. Look, I'm not even gonna go any further than that. But interesting enough that if he is to take this fight with Berto and is successful in getting his 49th win, him moving forward to whoever he may fight, potentially in May, if this isn't his last fight, that's what I'm saying. If he goes up against Kell Brook, because that's what everybody really wants to fight him, either Brook or Thurman, potentially being his next fight, or Amir Khan, who Floyd has actually been, you know, playing, you know, tag or flirting with the option of fighting with Khan, and Khan trying to call him out. I think they're both kind of like, you know, pissing each other off, to say the least. But your thoughts on if Floyd is successful and moving forward, who would potentially be the fight upcoming? Like, which name do you think would be best suited? I mean, Thurman just reached out there and tried to call Floyd out, but from Thurman's last fight up against Colosso, Colosso gave him trouble. I really think that, to me, I think Thurman is a guy that, you know, is successful at throwing his bombs, but up against a guy like Colosso that put an onslaught on him, and I think if Colosso wasn't cut like that, he could have probably presented more damage or made that more of a troublesome fight for Thurman. But I think since Thurman's been successful, obviously enough, the guy that everybody needs to call out, especially in that welterweight division, would be Floyd Mayweather. So if he is successful in September, who do you think will be the name that sits there in his next fight, if he does fight outside of this supposed last fight?
If he does fight out of this, the Thurmans I'm just watching this Arroyo fight. When he wins in September, if it is Berto, when he wins that fight, and he announces, I'm going to fight in May, if he announces, and whenever he announces that, whether it be in January, February, or March, or you know, even September, whatever, I think Kell Brook will be the only zero left for him to fight. I believe the way Thurman put up a fight against Colosso, I think if he fights someone else again of Colosso's caliber or another champion, I think Thurman might have been exposed in that fight. And, you know, albeit Timothy Bradley showing a great fight for 11 rounds, totally outclassing Jesse Vargas, getting that one punch at the 12th round, having that loss to Manny Pacquiao, I don't think he's in the running quite yet. But the thing is, I think Kell Brook will be the only zero that the fight fans would demand for Mayweather fight. If he goes for 50, the record to end the career on 50-0, it will have to be Kell Brook. In my eyes, there's no other fighter he should, could, would, or has to fight other than Kell Brook in May. Kell Brook is going to be the test of all tests. The way Kell Brook has been able to handle everyone, including Sean Porter, who we just saw do what he did, and we were questioning whether or not he was ready for a title shot at Floyd Mayweather. So I think Kell Brook is the man who it will get the lottery ticket, so to speak, and be the one in May out of all the names you have thrown out, because I think at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, the last one to be undefeated, the last one to pose a threat, the last one for money to make his name and his statement on at 50-0 would be Kell Brook. You know, unless, you know, we were all bamboozled again and get a repeat of Manny Mayweather 2 because he wants another easy victory, I think Kell Brook will be the man. I think Kell Brook will be the guy that he fights next May if he wants to continue his career after September.
Now, the interesting thing about that fight, I think, is the length and the height that Kell Brook presents to Floyd. Him being a bigger boxer at the welterweight division, this is actually something that Floyd has actually stayed away from, and fighting guys with range and length that could actually be a problem for Floyd in negating his speed, because Kell has one hell of a jab, and he was very successful at keeping that touch in front of Porter and successful at, you know, laying the hammer behind those punches. Let's just say, for instance, Floyd does try to fight outside of September, fights Kell Brook, and this fight actually presents itself. And knowing that both of these guys are trying to protect their zero, what a way would it be for Floyd to go out on top and be successful after not only taking Berto? And to me, I think Berto was a lesser of a competitor than Kell Brook, and then coming right back and fighting a young guy that's a bull in the ring, protecting an undefeated record, and one of the up-and-coming phenoms out there in England.
Exactly, and it would just be, it would be a testament to, you know, the resume and all that good stuff like that. But, you know, it would make, you know, he would leave his stamp on boxing as he walked out, so to speak, because, you know, the best of the best in his weight class would have won or you know, would have losses to him as he walks away, and they would have to continue the careers, you know, with without any zeros. It would be pretty awesome for obviously Mayweather's career and the resume and things like that for his in boxing performances.
And you know, there's so much around Floyd and you know, getting into so many discussions outside of the kitchen on why he has to protect his legacy and you know, so many people talking about his resume, so on and so forth. If he beats a guy like Kell Brook, I mean, what could they say now? He's actually, and that's if he does present himself up against a guy like Kell Brook, going up against at least three guys that have actually been undefeated, champions in their own right, and him being successful, if this does go down in May, at the age of 20, I'm missing a decade, at the age of 39, it would be pretty big for Floyd to get this accomplished. And knowing that people are sitting there waiting for Floyd to lose at 38, his record is on scratch right now. And it's still like people don't believe it. People still want to see him lose. They're not going there to support this guy. You hear more boos wherever Floyd goes, and he's actually the guy that is the reigning champion, undisputed, undefeated. I mean, everything that comes along with a pound for pound, best boxer in boxing, and still has to prove himself. Otherwise, it's a tough world,
well,
tough reality.
I think he does that personally in his personal life to himself. I think if albeit his personal life was not either, if it was personal and not paraded around, or he didn't do anything that he has done negatively in his personal life, I don't think you would hear as many boos, as many jeers. Obviously, you're going to have the quote-unquote haters out there who can't stand someone who's that good. But I don't think the boos would be as prevalent. I don't think the hatred would be so deep in some people. I think what he has done personally outside the ring affects the way people look at him. That's why when he goes to events, when he gets to whatever he's doing outside of a boxing ring, people don't like him. Because if you don't know much about the sport and you don't know much about boxing, all you know of Floyd Mayweather is sadly but truly what Chandler speaks about, how despicable of a person he is. But other than that, to distinguish the boxing person inside of that ring, that, you know, we argue it all the time on this show, he might be one of the best to ever do it inside of that ring. I just think personally, on a personal level, the boos and the jeers come from that, more or less the quote-unquote haters not liking the fact that he's winning. Because if you really watch this sport and you really like this sport and you really care for it, you can't not. You know, you can't deny what he's been able to do inside that ring for 20 some odd years and for 48 fights.
He's coming up on 49.
Any
topic that you'd like to address in the food fight?
You know, we did touch on Triple G a little bit and who he should fight and why he hasn't fought anyone like that. I would just like to just state, you know, one more time, reiterate, it's hard for him to fight people because of the high risk, low reward. You're not going to get a giant payday fighting Triple G, and you're most likely going to get knocked out. So why put yourself in that position, especially if you're a good fighter on the up and come? So the Ward Triple G situation, that needs to happen immediately, so that way Triple G can start collecting championships and doing the things he needs to do. At different weight classes and moving up, because we all know at 160, or at least I know at 160, there's no one that could see him. So as soon as Ward Triple G happens and questions are answered, we will see the reign of Triple G. Even if Mayweather decides to stay, Triple G's reign is coming.
Well, what if Ward wins the fight, though? Is already Triple G is the winner in that fight?
It is Team Triple G all day, every day. I really do think that that winner will be Triple G of that fight. If that fight does happen in September or in October, November, December, Triple G is the winner. I've just been waiting for this fight to happen for so long. Ward's been avoiding it because he knows what he's up against. He wanted that warm-up tune-up, which he got the easy fight, got the knockout, got the victory, and now he thinks he's ready or whatever, but it's Triple G, man. This guy has been having to fight these bums because no one else is ready to fight him. There are a couple, Gil, I'm not going to call him a bum, so to speak, but the rest of these guys, they're not really championship elite fighters like Triple G should be fighting. So he's had to take them lightly and, whatever with them. Some have taken them longer than others, but he's still knocking them out. That's why he needs to fight Ward. And like I said, questions will be answered. The Ward's fans won't like the answers to the questions, but questions will be answered in that fight. So when Triple G is the winner, he's holding his hand up and he's calling out the next person. That next person better stand up and fight him because you just have to do it. You have to take your lumps, you have to take your loss, and he has to fight whoever he wants and keep on moving.
Okay, but with Ward being a veteran and having the experience in these type of fights, Ward being successful does what to Triple G's career?
Ward being successful, I think it does hurt Triple G's career, obviously, tremendously. A fighter like Ward, who's not a bum at all, like I said, he is a championship caliber. He was only stripped because of inactivity. A championship fighter, one of the best in the division, with a zero on his resume. So it has to be, that's why the questions will get answered. And I think that if Ward keeps his zero and wins, it's a loss on Triple G's record. And with it being, if it's like you say, a technical knockout or a knockout, or he gets Triple G, we will see a rematch in that fight. But if it is the only way I see Ward winning the fight, if he does win, which would be scoring more on the cards and winning a 12-round decision, I don't see them being a second fight. We will be so convinced that the outclassmanship or the classmanship of Ward going up against a fighter of Triple G's caliber and outclassing him for however many rounds he does to a decision victory. Like I said, this will be a knockout victory for Triple G. He's going through everyone. This is his time. Like I said, even though after September, if Mayweather continues, the knockout streak will continue. And that will be something that boxing fans and the boxing world will have something to cling on to. So we can have more people come back, because this streak is going to be long and it's going to be exciting to watch.
The way you're making it sound, I'd be intrigued to see what Andre would do to Triple G, and if he was successful, because he's knocked out big time names like a guy that my people out here know well, and Chad Dawson, and taking care of him first round knockout. So, this situation could happen, and it's not like Ward is a guy that closes his eyes and throws shots. He's a technical boxer that has power too. Triple G has to be aware of what he presents, and Triple G gets hit. It's not like he has the best of defenses. He does get contacted within that ring. So if he's not successful at landing his bomb, then Ward is. Either he could be outscored or actually be in a late round situation facing deep waters. I mean, before he got rid of Monroe, it was a very interesting fight as well, until he basically caught Monroe on the chin and they actually got rid of him. But seeing him going in the later round, you can actually see fatigue in Triple G. And I don't know if he can consistently do this as time wears on, where he hasn't had experience in his fights to do this.
He hasn't had the experience in the long-winded of fights, but I do see Triple G going in and doing what he's supposed to do. This will be the fight that he's wanted, that he's been wanting, waiting for. Not necessarily Ward, but a name, a champion, someone he can beat. So now people can stop downplaying his resume. Now he can start taking on more champions because he's got a champion on the resume, and no one can say, oh, you've got no one. So this is what Triple G's been waiting for. You talk about Triple G taking shots on the chin. He took that shot on the chin, I think, wholeheartedly, because he'd already felt it, and he knew that once he threw it, his was coming, and it knocked Gil out. Yes, he's been caught before on the chin, on the face, but I really do think Triple G has, you know, a steel plate as a face. This will be a fight that if Ward gets a couple shots in, we will see Triple G's withstandment of pain or punishment at an all-time high that we've never even witnessed from any boxer before. So this streak, like I said, it's just getting started. It's going to be really long, and just buckle up. Be ready, because after Ward, it's going to be a long line of good fighters that'll fall to the gloves of Mr. Triple G.
Okay, Sports City, buckle up, because Nacho on these predictions, you know his percentage, people. You know his percentage. I'm just gonna leave it there. I'm gonna leave it there, but hopefully he can rebuild this. I just gotta give him some dishes. Give him a lot of food to talk before we get out of here. Well, we are at the tail end of the food fight. I need anything that you have on slate to plug, promote, or close out as we get ready to shut down the food fight.
You know, like I said, PBC on CBS is just getting underway. Your local CBS affiliate, the first 10-round bout just went 10 rounds. It was a good heavyweight fight. We got some more fights coming up after this. Also, the Showtime fight, if you want to watch it, Chavez Jr., tonight on Showtime, 7 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. West Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern. It'll be, you know, it'll be something to see whether Chavez, you know, can, you know, it'll just be something to see. Just check it out. It'll be on Showtime if you got it. Other than that, good show again, Ty. Thanks. Was hoping Chandler would get in here. I wanted to pick his brain about some old-time boxers because I know you and him were into it, and I wanted to pick both your brains, and maybe we'll get into that next weekend if he's here, or maybe in the brunch tomorrow. But it was always as fun as always. We really have to stop talking about Floyd every episode because as much as I know, you know, you love him and I know how great he is, he's not all the time. We got other fighters. We got good name fights coming up and also some other things. So Floyd doesn't have to be the topic all the time.
I don't know how to address that because I know the last show that we talked about Floyd wasn't a topic on the last two or three, but hey, to each their own, and knowing that he's addressed the decision, that's relevant. It's relevant. I know you're frustrated. You don't like Floyd. That's cool. A lot of people in America don't like the guy, especially when you net $220 million. You get Ronda Rousey to get as much attention as possible to call you out at the ESPYs. Hilarious. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. I'll be back here tomorrow, Sunday, brunching it up, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific time. You already know he got me sluggish with this Pacific and Western and Eastern, and you already know how we get down. Sports City, stay focused. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again, and if they don't know, now they know.
Did the remix.
Same old shit, just a different day. I here trying to get it, each and every way. Wait, mama need a house, baby need some shoes. Okay. Times are getting hard, okay. That's what I'ma do.
What's that?
I'm on South Beach with that top off. Bad bitch and her ass off. Something out of that catalog. She introduced that lockjaw. And I think her name was Lisa. Or maybe it was Sheila. My Chevy sitting too high. I call that with Khalifa. And I'm all about the new Franklin. Ain't talking Aretha. Bitch, my league too major. I'm hip hop Derek Jeter. And I'm still feeling my pocket. Big bass and it's knocking. Yeah, this be that remix. What do you ride around with that rocket? Nigga, welcome back to my household. We the best, we that loco. 100 grand for that neck glow. All about the dinero. Nigga, flow so retarded. We be getting all that. Oh, King Wasabi, it be me, Ross. We did party, cause it's the same old shit. Just a different day. I here trying to get.
24s on my Beamer. Never know when I slide up. 19 in my Nina. Red dot when I ride up. 100 deep in that KOD. King of diamonds, that's me, nigga. No, you bitches can't hit my beat. Choppers only think free, nigga. Step to me and I teach you. Somebody text this preacher. Straight dropping my beaker. Ace knocking my speakers. Last night I counted 1 mil. This morning, 150. Pussy niggas can't count me out. Don't make me hurt your feelings. I B12 for Jetix. JetBlue, forget it. Rolex embedded. With princess embedded. Same old brick, but it's different, yeah. Yeah, that's candy paint on my 7 tray.
Same old shit, just a different day. Out you trying to get it, each and every way. Mama need a house, baby need some shoes. Times are getting hard, guess what we gonna do? Hustle, 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 hard. Hustle, 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 hard.
Close mouths don't get fed,
yeah,
on this boulevard.
Okay, my black card in my pocket, riding round in that Dotty. Pistol off of my boxes, I ain't got time to be boxing. Got a red bone, she look tropic. If she fuck me right, then she shopping. Young money, we popping. I eat these rappers, Anthony Hopkins. See that V-neck, that's Polo. Grilled up like Ocho. Chuck Taylor's with no socks. You niggas chicken, pollo. Nigga live on Sundays. King of Diamonds Monday. Swagger just dumb. Call it Kelly Bundy. Got a big house with a backyard. Fish tank with sharks in it. Real nigga, I'm authentic. I fuck the bitch that she sharp with it. Got a bad bitch who be bartending. Couple homies that gang bang. I get on anybody track and hit that bitch with that Wayne train. Free my nigga T.I. Sue to the beehive. Got a G6 and a G5. You pussy niggas, you feline. Don't stop the party. We be getting all it. Whoa, Kim, sorry, I'm with Mac Fugas and Molly, cause it's same old shit, just a different day. Out you trying to get it, each and every way. Mama need a house, baby need some shoes. They want that car to fold, bitches coming soon.
Same old shit, just a different day.